when we quit singing and but we're just playing like supported instrumental stuff, that's opportunity for you to just do your thing, you know. Close your eyes, turn your heart toward God on your own. And I just want to remind you, don't be watching us, but turn your heart toward God at every opportunity. Go ahead.
I don't know who this is for, but when Arthur was praying this morning, we weren't praying about any of this. And this rose up in my heart, and I remember the scripture. It says, by the word of your testimony. So I've got a scripture for you, but I just want to give you some encouragement about your finances. And if there's anybody on Facebook or anybody sitting here who's concerned about your finances right now, I want you to know that God is totally in charge of your finances. And Jimmy and I know if you've come to my house or you see me lately, we are blessed beyond measure. We are. But I also remember being young and really struggling. And God never left us. He always took care of us. If we were needing food, and I remember going to the pantry one time, and I opened up the pantry because we were going to make dinners right after my daughter was born, and there was a can of tuna fish and some crackers. And so we had tuna patties. But I just remember the really lean time. Not like some people have had it, but I remember lean times. But I was raised in this church. My dad was an elder. He was in charge of the finance of the church, and he raised me to believe that if I gave, that God would take care of me. And I've walked on that all my life. All my life. It's like, God, money is up to you. I know you will bless me, but I'm gonna give to you. It was always been my heart. But I was just thinking about how he blesses you abundantly. And so I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. That's where I'm going to start. And it says, remember, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, the blessings may come to someone who will also reap generously and with blessing. And I love that. It's like the heart. It's the heart of the giver. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. As it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And I know some of you give. You give to people in need. You give to Compassion International. You give to orphanages. You just give to people that you see who are in need. And that's who he's talking about. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifest itself in advance in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can become generous. And your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. And I just think about all the people that you have blessed or you have touched. They're going to give thanks to God because that's who is telling you to give. Because at your standing of the test of this ministry, they will glorify God for your loyalty and obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as for your generous-hearted liberality to them and to all the other needy ones. And they yearn for you while they pray for you because of the surpassing measure of God's grace, his favor and mercy and spiritual blessing, which is shown forth in you. Now, thanks be to God for his gift, precious beyond telling, his indescribable, inexpressible, free gift.
we are not just going to be hearers of the word. We're going to be doers of the word. Beth comes up here and she gives us a word. She says, not of myself, but it is the word of God. That God gave her a word. And she just was obedient and to transfer that word that God gave her. And she says, I've got to say that word. Sharon just had a word, which was you're going to hear confirmation of what Beth said in my sermon. Sharon had a word which was confirming to me of the very thing that I was going, what do you want me to do, God? I feel like you have a prophetic word happening in here. I could feel a prophetic thing going on here. There's a prophetic spirit that's happening right now. And I can't let it go. I can't just say, well, let's ignore that. No, we've got to do that. And I'm going, how do we administrate that, Father? How do we administrate? How do we put feet to what you're saying? And this is how I saw it play out. And so I saw this. Come on in. Come on in. Love you guys. And this is how I saw this playing out. Never done this before. Now, I'm not saying I haven't given a prophetic word before. I'm just saying I've never administrated this way. It was, you yourself are going to have faith for it. You yourself are going to have to put your need on the altar. You're going to have to say, maybe raise your hand. And you don't have to say, well, this is what it was. But you yourself are going to have to say, God, this is my need that I have. And I'm putting that where I hear your voice. I need your voice right here. Because this is a scripture that I used last week, or maybe it was the week before, I don't remember. But it was the word that Paul gave to Timothy. He says, do fight as the word of prophecy that was given to you by Eunice, by your grandmother and your mother, given to you, fight with those prophecies that were given you. And so, we're going to do that. We're going to give you opportunity. We're going to give you weaponry. We're going to give you that thing that says, hey, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We're going to give you what you need. But you're going to have to go take it. You're going to have to reach out and say, Father, I need a battle axe. I need a spear. I need a sword. I need what I need. You know what I need. But you're going to have to raise your hand. You're going to have to be bold. Just as much as I have to be bold to come up here and say, you got to be bold. So, what happened this week that you're struggling, that you struggled with, that you said, God, I need you. I'm having a problem here, and I need a word in season that only you can help. You see, that's faith. Faith is that thing that only God can do. Only God can fix. So, the altar's open. Who needs a word? I'm going to believe God. Do you believe God? Raise your hand. There you go. There you go. I'll just start down here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now. Glorify yourself, Father. We're living by faith. We're saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now. Give a word in season to Donna. I pray, Father, that, Father, you move, you glorify yourself, and you bring a resolve unto her health issues, a resolve unto the issues that are coming with her boys, Father. And I pray right now that, Lord, you are able to show her exactly what she needs to do. But, Father, in the name of Jesus, show you, Father, that in this time you can glorify yourself through the very answers that you have for her. And so, Father, I pray right now, do this in Jesus' name. Do this in Jesus' name. It is by the authority that you have in heaven, because what is done in heaven is done on earth in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for it. I thank you, Lord, for this. I thank you, Lord, that you are able. I thank you, Father, to bring peace into this land, to bring peace into this home. And I pray, Father, that all will be well. All will be well. And it lives day to day. It lives moment by moment. And that, Father, in Jesus' name, we believe that you are able to do more than we can think or imagine. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, raise your hand. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, she comes right now. And she meets you exactly where you're at. But Father, you meet her exactly where she's at. And so, Father, you know her heart. You know exactly where she is at, Father. And Father, she comes and she brings her heart to you. And she puts it on the altar. And she says, Father, I need you. I need you for everything. I need you for finances. I need you, Father, to order my day. I need you to order my steps. I need you, Father, for the next step that I need to take, Lord. I need you to show me exactly what needs to happen in my life. And Father, you need to order them. You need to order them. You need to make a way, to make a path for me. And so, Father, I pray right now that, Father, in everything that I do, she has the very Spirit of God that lives within her, Father. I pray right now, just put your hand right here, that the Spirit of the Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord searches the innermost part of the belly, searching what is the Lord. And I pray, Father God, that in this she finds the goodness of God and the mercies of God forever and ever and ever, Father. The word is hers. The promises are hers. Your promises are true. And Father, and I thank you, Lord, that she bears witness, Father, even as we pray here, she bears witness that you are true. And her faith rises because, Father, she prays along with me, and we agree with her in prayer. We agree with her in the truth of who you are in her life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Father. Heavy, 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 heavy. Heavy is the yoke of a mother. Is the yoke of a mother who carries the heart of her children. And I pray, Father, right now that you just show her, God, that you can give her rest and you can give her truth and you can give her peace. Even in the midst, Lord, even in the midst, that as she walks out these truths, that, Father, you are able to carry her burden, to carry her goodness. Father, that you have enabled her for everything, for life and godliness. And as she walks out the truth of the Word of God, you are able to move and intercede for every part, that is hers to take. But Father, I pray that she can lay down that which is not hers, but which is yours. And I thank you, Father, that you give her freedom. Freedom to say, yes, Lord, this is yours, and I'll take what is mine. But Father, I thank you, you paid the price. You paid the price that is true and it is real. And because you paid that price, Father, that Lord, you have given her freedom. You have given her truth. And you have blessed her. Blessed her, blessed her, blessed her, blessed her beyond what she can even imagine. And Father, let her peek behind the scenes and let her see what you have done even when she has not seen. I thank you, Father, you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Because, Lord, it is real and it is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray. Pray, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. For the Word of God dwells within him richly. I pray that, Father, that in him dwells a treasure of the Word of God that feeds him continuously. It is a fountain that feeds him continuously. He does not thirst because he dwells in that fountain of the Word of God. And so, Father, I pray right now that you would continue to show him the truth of that Word. And that, Father, that as you show him the truth of that Word, you also show him of the results of that truth. The results of that truth is that, Father, you are the one that actually does it. And that, Father, you are the one that is the product, the relationship, and the relationship produces righteousness. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're doing in this family. And Father, I pray that you will show yourself mighty. And that, Father, it will bloom. It will bloom. It will bloom. It will bloom as a mighty oak of righteousness. It will bloom as a mighty oak of righteousness. And that, Father, I pray, Father, because they are planting seeds of the Word of God in Ilion. And I pray, Father, that in this planting of the seed of God, they are going to produce a seed in which, oh, will sprout and it will grow and it will grow unto the glory of God. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yes. I sense, Sylvia, that your battle right now is not with what's happening in your womb. It's what's happening in your thoughts and your soul. And that song today is for you. This is how I fight my battles. I praise Him. I give thanksgiving to Him for what's happening in me, for what He's done in my life. This is how we fight that battle. When Satan comes to try to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to him, rather than to making them obedient to Christ. Right now, that's where the battle is. right now, that's where the battle is. Take those thoughts captive, make them obedient to Christ. Take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. This is what Christ has done. This is what Christ has said. It may look like you're surrounded, but you're surrounded by Him.
Yes.
You're surrounded by Him. In front, in back, on sides, you are surrounded by Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we put a seal to this. We say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you have spoken your word. And because your word has been spoken, you say you will perform it. That your word is performed. It is spoken and performed by you. When you said, let there be light, what happened? There was light. And so, Father, I pray that just as much as we have spoken your word for Sylvia, Father, you move to perform it. So in Jesus' name, it is not conditional upon man. It is conditional upon the promise of God for Sylvia. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just come and I pray for this. I pray for this man of God. I pray, Father, that he was reborn for a purpose to move, a purpose to grow, a purpose to fulfill a purpose in you, God. And I thank you, Lord, that he comes with the same exuberance and the same zealousness that, Father, you have put in him. It is not by circumstance or happenstance or just maybe, hey, it just happened to be in Ethan. No, it is a spirit that God has put in you to perform. It is something that God has put in you because this is my son, and that's what I made, and that's what I want in him, and he's going to do something because that's what I want him to do. And I want him to love the way he loves, and I want him to be excited the way I want him to be excited. He will draw men because that excitement is of me. And so, in that prophetic word, he will do battle with the prophetic word that is put within him, so that what? He may do mighty works by him. And so, Ethan, it is not by you. It is by the God in you that he walks and he talks and he lives within you to perform his love through you. Don't question. Don't question. He is doing this tremendous work. Love him. And as you love him, he will unfold some things in you that you're going to go, wow. I never even thought that could be possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Did you raise your hand?
No, sir.
You good? Did you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray. I pray for this man. I pray, God, that what he lays on the altar, Father, is sincere. It is real. And so, Father, I pray that as he goes to battle, as he goes to war, that, Father, you, Father, move in him. That, Father, he looks to you. And as he looks to you to fight the battle for him, that he doesn't look to his own strength, that he doesn't look to his own, but he looks to the strength of God. I see that, Father, you are able to do more than he thinks. But that, Father, where we fail, where we are weak, you are strong. Where we see you are able to go farther, that, Father, you gave the prophets the ability to outrun horses. You gave the prophets the ability to tear down Colosseums. You gave the prophets the ability to have supernatural strength. Because the strength came from heaven above and not from their own muscles. It came from angelic beings. It came from the Spirit above. And so, Father, I pray right now, show him, let him peek behind the curtain and let him know the truth of who God truly is. And so, Father, let him depend on God Almighty. It really is God Almighty. So, Father, move in him. Let him have ears to hear. Let him have eyes to see exactly who you are. Show yourself worthy of his praise, worthy of all that you are able to show him. And then, Father, he will walk in the newness of life as a new creature, ready to lay down his life for the life that you have restored in him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who else? Raise your hand. Father, I pray. I pray for this woman of God. I pray, Father, I thank you, Lord. Her name is consistent. Her name is consistent day in, day out. Her name is that she knows you are there anytime she is in need. She's a woman of prayer. She's a woman who sits and says, my God is able. My God is able to restore me. My God is able to rescue me. My God is able. And so, Father, whatever she needs, God, I pray, Lord. I pray right now that her faith is that she has need. So she comes and she brings it to the altar, and I pray right now. Show her right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, touch her. Father, I pray. And Father, she also carries many burdens. She carries the burden of a family. She carries the burden of her mother. She carries the burden, Father, many things weigh her down. They weigh her down in her thoughts. Sometimes she lives in the land of what if this or what if that. God, I pray right now that the land of what if doesn't exist in the land of God, because you are always in control. You are always able to take that which says, I control the what if. I control what if, because what if I will take truly away from you, am able to bring promises into being and say, the promise is yours. The minute you pray, the minute it comes out of your lips, it hits my ears. And I say, that's the faith of my daughter. That's the faith of my daughter. And I love my daughter. And I show up for my daughter. So thank you, Father, for her truth. And I thank you, Father, that she believes that truth. She's been there many, many years. And she has sown seed for many, many years. And I pray, Father, let her claim some of that seed. Let her claim some of that seed that has grown into many oaks of righteousness. And Father, let her live out that peace that she has sown for many, many years. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I pray right now for Yoli. I pray, God, you glorify yourself. Show yourself mighty to her. Father, she loves you. She loves you with all her heart, God. And so, Father, as she walks, Father, she says, I give everything that I have unto you, Lord. And, Father, I pray that it is a sacrifice. I give you a sacrifice of praise. I give you a sacrifice of anything that I have unto you, Lord. I give you my words. I give you my comings and my goings, God. And so, Father, I pray the faithfulness that you just show her. In her faithfulness, God, your faithfulness to her. That, Father, I just pray, show her your truth. Show her, reward her, God, with that goodness. Love on her, God. Love on her, Lord. And I just pray, God, goodness and favor all the rest of her days. In Jesus' name. Did I miss anybody? Anybody? Father, I thank you for your faithfulness over our body. You are so good. And I pray, Father, that as we obey you, your truth and your will be accomplished. Not just as another day, but as you see fit, that we put feet to your word and we be those doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm I'm in awe of God. I'll just be real honest. I'm in awe of God. God is faithful. God is true. He's real. Definitely did not have any of that planned. He definitely comes to confirm His word. And He has been confirming His word to me all morning. And I want to show you that He has. Matthew 13. The reason, otherwise, I probably wouldn't go ahead and preach this morning because of what we just did. But I believe that, again, God is confirming His word. And because of what Beth said this morning, and what she brought out, and what I had prepared, it was confirming to me that it was, and you'll see what I prepared was the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. I'm not going to read it. Part of the parable of the sower is that you read it. And part of it is going to show you of what type of ground you are. And so it's imperative that you take this and make it relevant to you. In this story, they ask him about parables.
Why do you speak in
parables? And Jesus tells them why. But in every biblical story, there is a narrative. In the story of David and Goliath, when we talk about David and Goliath, and everybody says, you know, there was David, there was Goliath. And in every story of David and Goliath, you, as the audience, take on who you are. What? Who are you in the story? Are you David? Are you Goliath? Are you the stones? Are you the brothers of David? Or are you the brothers of Goliath? Are you the one stone that that hit Goliath in the head? Or are you the four stones that were left in the sack? Who are you in the story, in the narrative of the story of David and Goliath? In every biblical story, in every narrative of the Bible, we take on who we are in that story. You know, if you never realize that, that's what you do. And every preacher puts you there. You know, so you are, and you are this or that or whatever. And so in the parable of the sower, he brings out different types of soil, different types of ground. And so I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. And he says, their seed by the sower, and the first seed falls on by the road. And it's just seed that it just fell out of his bag. And it fell on hard pavement. And the second seed fell on stony ground. It was rocky, and it fell in between the rocks, and it was just stony ground. And the third was seed that fell in thorny ground. And this was stuff that you're not going to retrieve. It's just in this thorny, among the thorns and among the weeds. And in the fourth, it was in good ground. And tilled up. It was fresh dirt. It was black and it smelled good. You know, it's that kind of dirt. But in Matthew 13, 9 through 17, he says, "For who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Would you not feel privileged? It is unto you to know the secret. If I came to Eric, I said, "I got a secret for you." I'm whispering, "I got a secret for you." You'd be like, "Okay. I'm only telling you and 500 other people." That's the way it usually happens. "But I'm just telling you." And he's done. It's for you to know, and I'm telling you in a parable, and that's how I'm going to release this unto you. "For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." So this is a key that he's using. He's saying, "I'm going to give it to you in this manner so that those that do know, it's going to be unlocked unto them. They're going to understand. But those that don't, they're not going to understand." It's like, "I'm giving it to you, and it's going to unlock for them that have ears to hear. For those that don't have ears to hear, they're not going to get it. They're not going to understand." And "therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seen are not." Verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing shall see, and shall not perceive." Say, have you ever been around people like that? They hear it, but I'm not getting it. I don't understand what you're saying. Jimmy, you ever been around people like that? This is a computer. What's it do? Verse 15. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eye, and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, these are people that have the ability, but they're not doing it. But if they choose to, I will heal them. Isn't that good news? At any given time, if they choose to in their heart, I will do it. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. He said, all these prophets of old, all these things, knew they were coming, and they were excited. They're going, man, this is some great stuff. And we're so excited it's going to come, and the Messiah is going to come, and they didn't get to see them. But you're going to get to see them. And they waited, and they didn't get it. But you're going to get the chance to. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and the purpose of the parables were, this is the reason. We're going to go through a lot of parables here in the next few weeks. And so, how are we to come into this place? Remember Ezekiel 43? The comings in and the goings out. You need to come in with your heart ready. With your heart ready to receive, what does God want for me? What does God want to let me hear and to see and to perceive? God has a message for me and for this congregation and for this city. God has something. And so we need to be ready. Well, in the next few verses, he's about to tell us. He says the roadside seed is the one that's just on the surface. It's the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. And it's just right there on the surface. And what happens? We have a pool, and we have brick around that pool. And I look out there, and there are many birds in that tree, and they swoop down, and I see those birds pecking on that brick, and I don't see what they're getting. And they peck between that brick, and I'm going, what are you getting? I don't see anything. But they must be getting something, because they keep pecking. They keep eating. They keep coming. And so the issue is that seed never gets a chance to germinate. It's the same with the Word of God. The Word of God gets put out there. And this is the mental image that I got. Mental image that I got is like two men sitting in a restaurant and they're talking, whatever they're talking about, but they're talking about things of God. And the next table next to them and overhear what they're saying. And they're going, But they really don't pay attention. They just kind of gather some scriptures here and there. Because I do that all the time. I listen. I hear a scripture. I go, wonder what they're talking about. And then I play, guess what congregation they're from? They must be Assembly of God. They must be, whatever. But it's seed that goes no further than that. It doesn't germinate. It doesn't go anywhere. It just falls on hard ground. It's not going to go anywhere. And he says, it falls on hard surfaces because what? It doesn't have a chance. It just falls on hard ground. And the wicked one, it says the wicked one comes and snatches it away. That's what the Amplified Version says. In verses 20 and 21, it says their seed is put into rocky soil. What's the rocky soil? Well, it's affliction, it's trouble, it's persecution. There's no root system. It just goes in and it just barely tries to gain any type of root. But then that person gets offended. Like, oh, this doesn't work. This Christianity's no good. It didn't help me when I needed it. I don't want this. I'm in more trouble now than when I didn't have God. You ever heard that? I hear it all the time. Man, now that I'm with God, it just seems to come in floods. You're going, you never gave it a chance. Don't blame God. Ugh. You have to realize that there is a cycle of comings. I don't know if any of you ever heard about the cycle of comings. Some of you have, some of you haven't. The cycle of comings is, first thing that comes is the Word of God. The second thing that comes is faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word and hearing by the Word of God. Now, the third thing that comes is Satan. Satan will come and try to steal that word. And then, what? Decision comes. The decision that comes is whether you're going to faint. Oh my God, this is so hard. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to. Ah! Or, okay, I'm going to rebel. I ain't doing this no more. So either you're going to faint or you're going to rebel. Or what does the Word tell us to do? Endure. For when we endure, we receive the fruit of righteousness. That's our reward for endurance. Sound right? Because it is right. So, understand the cycle of comings. So, when we're on that rocky soil, it is our time to buckle down. It is our time to allow that seed to get down and get root and endure that cycle of comings. The Word of God comes. Faith comes, Satan comes. It's a cycle. It'll happen almost every time. But then we need to not faint. We need to not rebel. We need to endure whatever comes. Okay? And then, thorny ground. It's when the cares of the world. This is a tricky one. Because Christianity has really conformed the Word of God to say it is for you. We have made Christianity so much about the people is that we have watered it down. We have said, God is going to help you. God is going to do this for you, and God is going to do that. We have to figure out that is God here for me, or am I here for God? You have to ask that question. Are you here for God, or is God here for you? I guarantee you, just as a baby comes, you have to understand that baby totally relies on you for everything. And God understands that. I have to feed, nurture, love that child and it grow up. But there comes a time when, as it grows up, it has to learn to become a person who is able to live on its own. And so that is going to be a viable citizen to be able to give back. That's what we should do. And so we have made the church into baby factories. We're just baby factories. Let's keep making babies, keep making babies, keep making babies. We don't care just as long as our churches are full of babies. And we said, so how do we get out of that cycle? Well, we grow them up. We grow them up. We disciple them the way the Great Commission tells us to. Make disciples as He tells us to. And then there is good ground. And the good ground hears it, receives it, understands it, and bears fruit. 30, 60, 100-fold. And as Beth said so eloquently this morning, it's in every part of our life. It's in how you live. It's in how you give. It's in every part. It's if you are saved. He says, let me just ask you, what kind of fruit does an orange tree bear? Oranges. Now, Ethan, I know you want to say apples, but it's not true. It's not true. It's oranges. So if we are trees that God has brought forth, we are to also make disciples. 30, 60, 100-fold. Every part, every one of us, every part of us is supposed to reproduce. That's how He made us. And so, he who has a heart to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. God has been so faithful and so good unto us. He's been good to me and good into what He is showing us. I love this. I love this Kingdom of God series, Kingdom of Heaven. And he is so good. So I pray that it's speaking to y'all.
Amen. It is speaking. I appreciate it, Arthur. And all I can think of.
Amen. It is speaking. I appreciate it, Arthur. And all I could think of when you're talking about the different types of ground is, have you ever wanted to plant a garden in your yard and you go out there and find that it's not ready? It's not ready for seeds. Your yard has stuff growing in it already that has nothing to do with what you want to grow. And so you start tilling it up and maybe shoveling up, and then you find there are rocks there. In my yard, they are this deep. And really, I'm not talking about little rocks. I'm talking about rocks. Christ didn't use these pictures for fun. He used them because they're real. And we need to apply it to ourselves for real and realize, how does that good soil get to be good? How do we get there? Well, you start working on the rocks and the weeds.
There's a lot of work to be done.
Take off the old man. It's not like he says, let me take it off. He says, you do it. There's a lot of work to be done. Thankfully, he enables us with the Holy Spirit. He points out the rocks and the weeds and says, there's one. Yeah, but that one's really big. And I'm going to wait for it to rain and let the dirt get soft. You know, stuff like that. We have our excuses. Anyway, that's what I was thinking the whole time you were talking about. How do we get to that good soil? We get in obedience and hear the word. Guard the word. Something else that occurred to me, I don't know how it fits with this, I'm telling you. I planted two trees in my front yard when I first moved back to Crane back in 91. Planted two fruitless mulberries, and they just kind of piddled along for years and years and years. You remember I told you, like, this far under the ground is solid rock at my house. And they grew, but they weren't growing well. And it's just like... And then one summer, it's like, boom. I'm talking about 15 years or so later. Wow. They started growing. And the pine trees that my kids brought home from school one day, little twigs, boom, they start growing. They broke through the rock. They went and found the water. Let's break through the rock and go find the water. Be good soil. All right. Good stuff, Arthur. Thank you. All right. Anything else before we go? Don't forget to vote. Okay? They're late. They're open late on Tuesdays if you need to take advantage of that. Until 8 on Tuesdays, right? Yeah. And then the following, on election day, it's 7 to 7. The polling places, yeah. The regular polling places. But for right now, it's at the courthouse in the clerk's office. Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Good to see you.